Our loving, gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us today that we may understand your purpose, your nature, your character, who you are, as presented through the Bible. May your holy word be a light to our path. Guide us in our lives. May your Holy Spirit be upon me as I share with you today, share with us today from your word. I pray this in your name. Amen. So we are in our series, the second week of looking at our series called Beyond Imagination, actually understanding the character and nature of God, where we're kind of delving into some theological, you know, theology 101, some understanding of who God is. And last week we looked at God, the all-powerful, the omnipotent God. And that was, you know, eye-opening. And beyond, you know, if you really delve into it and think it, when we think about God, the sheer magnitude and who God is beyond our imagination, beyond our imagining. Our own little mind and words and thoughts and understandings pales into insignificance of who God is. So this week, we're going to move from the all-powerful creating God to God who is omnipotent. In other words, the all-knowing God. All-knowing God, a God who's all-knowing of the past, of the present, and of the future. Last week I said to you that God exists beyond time, and this nature of God as being all-knowing of past, present, and future is a God that is beyond all time, and knowledge, his knowledge exists beyond time as well. And just even saying that little statement makes my brain go, boof. You know, how can God be all-knowing of past and present? It's beyond my capacity to even imagine that or comprehend what it fully means for us. You know, we as a society, let's say this, we as a society, we're pretty smart, aren't we? I'm just waiting for positive affirmation there. We're talking about you guys. So are we pretty smart? Fantastic. Good, good, good. We are pretty smart. You know, we live in a world of information and information at our fingertips, isn't it? How many people have got one of these? Okay. How many love Google? Well, love, hate, you know, get information from the web there. You know, we have information and data at our fingertips, you know, more so than we've ever had in past history. I was thinking about what I was going to share today, and I was just thinking about, well, knowledge and information and understanding. And I thought, well, actually, I used to be a research scientist a while ago, many years ago, actually, now. And it was actually BC, before kids, wasn't it? I'm just remembering that's before children. And I worked at Westmead Hospital. And it was actually at that time when the internet was kind of coming into play and people were getting really excited that they had modems and dial-up and they could get to some web pages and information. We had a dedicated line into the backbone there at Westmead Hospital. So, I got spoilt at being able to get information. But I remember that in my research and looking at all of this, that in order to get information, I couldn't actually just look it online like you do now. I actually had to travel to one of the university libraries and delve into, it was called PubMed. In other words, it was these whole lot of research articles about medicine and science. So biomedical science here. And you'd have to go in there and you'd need to kind of know the search parameters, because all this information was stored on these CDs. You know, not CDs, but these big record-sized CDs. You have to actually ask a person to come up with that. And searching through that would take time. You'd have to kind of find out all of this. I actually looked up on PubMed, which you can do online now, and there's over 36 million different citations on this literature. And I actually, you know, this is a little bit of humble break here. This is the article that, from my research that I was a part of, you can actually look up there, and it's kind of got my SD Lee stuck in there. If you want to have a look, you can come up later. But the title of the article is this: lack of restriction of T-cell receptor beta variable genes used in cerebrospinal fluid lymphocytes in acute optic neuritis. If that's not a mouthful, I don't know what is. But at the time that was published, which is, you know, in 1999, and, you know, I had to say it, you show your age when you think, oh, 1999 is not that long ago, but it actually is. It's 25 years ago, you know, going back into there, it's just looking at that, you know, from the time that PubMed had information being put into it, there was only 40, you know, you search the terms, there's only 40 other articles written around this kind of topic. But, you know, fast forward these 25 years into this space, and we've got 10 times the amount. You know, our ability to look at information, discern that, understand, get knowledge and understanding about our very essence and our nature of who we are and diseases and all those kind of things has just gone gangbusters. And we just have unprecedented access to information. Even though we have all this access to information, it doesn't mean that we actually have knowledge or wisdom. I'm going to put up a diagram on the screen. And here's the thing. It's the data, information, knowledge, wisdom pyramid or axis. And you can see down the bottom that we have a lot of connection to data, although I'd actually have to say we actually don't delve into the data anymore. We have it there, but we actually don't delve into the data. We delve into the information. Ask anybody that is like in that younger age group, anybody younger than me, basically. If you want to become an expert on something, what do? You jump on YouTube and you watch the video. Gone are the days you read instructions. My goodness, why would you have instructions you actually have to read through? You just Google it and up come all these videos about the particular topic, and somebody will just give you information about it on how to do it and suddenly become an expert in the area by watching a couple of videos. Now, we tap into this information the time, but we don't get knowledge. We access information. We don't get wisdom about it. We access information. We don't look at the data and how it actually functions and works and understand it. We get information. And we actually exist in this information. We talk about the information age. The reality is we just sit in this information space. We actually don't get wisdom or knowledge. We don't actually look at the data that supports all of this. So it got me thinking, and I shared with you at the beginning, and I'll just reiterate that, from Proverbs. Proverbs is a wonderful book of the Bible. Have a read of it at some time. Proverbs are full of short verses that give advice and wisdom to the reader. It's giving you ways of looking at your life and how God interacts with us and what it means to live as a wise person. So let me just share with you again what it actually says here in Proverbs. And here, you know, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach wisdom and discipline. Notice that? Teaching wisdom, but not only wisdom, discipline there, to help them understand the insights of the wise. So here's that whole thing. It's about understanding, not just gaining information, not just having access to information, but getting some knowledge, to get some wisdom. And that diagram gave you a bit of a pyramid. In other words, in order to have knowledge, you have to accumulate enough information to help you. In order to be wise, you have to put that knowledge into good practice. And so we are thinking about what wisdom is. And so here, the purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. So wisdom brings us to the point where we will live a disciplined, successful life that will live where we are right and just and fair. And these proverbs give insight into the simple knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and the riddles. And I love this. And I had a bit of a conversation last week about fearing the Lord. And the fearing of the Lord is not to be afraid of God. But it's actually to understand that God is so much bigger beyond our imagination, beyond this, that we need to actually come to that place of going, actually, God is more than I can actually even describe. And the language the Bible uses for that is fear the Lord. God is so much bigger, so much more powerful, so much more, you know, immense, so much more knowledgeable, so much more wise, all-knowing, that all we can do is fear the Lord. And that's the foundation of true knowledge. It is found in God. So how should we strive to seek this wisdom? If we just look a little ahead, a little further ahead, but I'm going to put up Proverbs 2:6. This is actually how we strive to seek wisdom. For the Lord grants wisdom. Who does it? God grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we seek wisdom from God. God is the one that gives wisdom. To let me push into this a bit further, if we're striving to seek wisdom, then we should be striving to seek God. To know God, to have that personal relationship with God, is a mode of gaining wisdom. Do you know God? Because God knows you. I love the message that Glenda had today in the kids' message about God knowing you. And this is what we're talking about. If God is all-knowing, not only of science and, you know, all these kind of things that we have, we think about knowledge and science and technology and all these things, but if God is all-knowing, then Psalm 139 beautifully places that all-knowing God into the personal. Let me share it with you. From Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. And it says this: O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. See, God's knowledge of us personally is even more than we can possibly understand or imagine. God knows us intimately and personally. This very personal knowledge of God that has about me and of you will bring fear, but it also brings comfort. It's beyond our imagining to understand this. I want to frame this knowledge of God in a very particular way about how we understand God from our human perspective. And human knowledge is amazing. I want to put it out there. I'm not going, let's push that aside and become dumb. I'm saying human knowledge is amazing. It has developed and has become and continues to be an immense source of help for us. But let me say this: human knowledge has limitations. And I want to put it this way. I'm going to speak personally about this. I'm going to put it into my personal framework. And you can do the same as well. So if it kind of rings true, I'm not going to say this about, you know, you and you're going to do this. I'm going to talk about me. I'm going to say this. My knowledge is limited because I am a finite, fixed person in an infinite universe. Think about that for a moment. My knowledge is limited because I'm finite, but we have an infinite universe out there. I am a fallible person living in an ever complex world. Therefore, my knowledge is limited. I am temporal in nature. In other words, I am bound to this moment in time. Yet I am part of an eternal timeline that is God's. My knowledge is limited. My knowledge is partial. My understanding is limited. My wisdom is flawed. Yet even though I have these limitations, I actually find solace in the source of the knowledge. A source that is infinite, a source of understanding that is perfect, a source of wisdom that is divine. I find comfort in God, the creator of the universe, the author of life, the giver of wisdom. And this is who I place my trust in. God, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthian church, says that the world is not going to listen to God's knowledge, but rather to place their trust in the limited human knowledge. And let me share it with you, and we'll put it on the screen for you. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He had used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. I love that line. I love that line as a preacher. He uses my foolish preaching. No matter how good or how bad, God works through those who are foolish and preach. Do I fit that? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Let me move on. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Notice that. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. The God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strengths. You know, so where do we place our trust? For me, it is in God. It is in God who so loved us that he gave his son Jesus. Gave his son Jesus that if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. And to this world, that seems foolish. But to us, it is food for our souls. It is the sustaining power of our lives. Once we understand that God loves us and loves us deeply, loves us beyond our comprehension, loves us beyond our imagination, then we don't need to be afraid of God. We should be willing to invite God to search our lives, to know us intimately. So just as King David was said in the Psalms, God knows us, and we should be willing to invite God into everything of ourselves. We should be willing to pray that God will dig deep into our lives, to reach the depths of our being, to know us completely. My prayer for us today is that you'll come to know God who is beyond our imagination, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, a God who knows you from the very moment that you were knitted together on a cellular level. Think about that for a moment. A God that knows you from the very moment that you were knitted together on that cellular level. True wisdom is to seek the all-knowing, omnipotent and omniscient God. The all-knowing God, the all-powerful God. Let's just pray. Oh, Lord God, you blow our imagination. You blow our minds. You are the one that is beyond what we can even comprehend and understand. Yet you are here with us. You have given us your Son so that we may have life. You have given us knowledge that we may understand the world around us. You have given us a brain to think, a heart to feel, hands to help, mouth to proclaim. So Lord, today, may we seek your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge, that we may live a life that is reflective of who you are. Lord, may you, who is all-powerful and all-wise, provide us blessing and understanding today. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.